Good morning. The title of the message I have for today is called The Glorious Kingdom. And if you notice in the back of your bulletins, there's no notes or anything. That's because I didn't provide them. But if my voice tends to end up droning on and you get bored, you can join your children and draw pictures or color in that spot. And don't worry about the notes. The scripture reading that I have for today is Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I'm not going to be expounding particularly on this verse, but it's kind of the theme of what I'm going to be speaking about today. And it's a wonderful promise that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us who believe in his name. And so that's what I want your thoughts and hearts to be on, to remember this verse as we go through today, the remainder of what I've got to say, some scripture readings and so forth. But before we get on with what I've got to say, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray this morning that not only in the speaking that I'm about to do, but also, Lord, in all of our worship, that you would open our eyes to behold your kingly glory, and also, Lord, the marvelous wonder of the glory of your kingdom, a kingdom that you have invited us to belong to through your Son, Jesus Christ. May we come away today, Lord, renewed and encouraged by what your word has to say to us, by the wonderful promises that you have given us, a sinful, rebellious people, yet, Lord, you have redeemed us by the precious blood of our Lord and our King, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, be with us as we continue on in our worship of you today. And we pray this in his matchless name. Amen. Because my memory's not that great, I'm going to actually be reading to you. Hopefully, I'll make eye contact from time to time. But if I don't read, I think I said this last time I was up here, I'll lose track of what I'm should be saying, and so I don't want to leave out anything that I plan to say. Some of you may remember that the last time I spoke to you, it was about preparing for death. There were warnings of what awaits those who have not committed themselves to Jesus Christ, both from Scripture and from various Puritan writers. These descriptions of hell showed us the utter and eternal terror that will come to those who reject him. Today I want to talk about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, as it is also called, which God has been pleased to give those who trust in his Son. We will also hear about the king of this kingdom. However, I found that describing these things is no easy task. As a theological note in the New Geneva Study Bible states, the kingdom is present in its beginnings, but future in its fullness. In one sense, here already, but in the richest sense, still to come. And in this month's Table Talk magazine, it says, the kingdom, is inaugurated in his, Jesus' first advent, continues to grow after his exaltation, and is consummated when he returns to judge creation. So rather than trying to describe this kingdom myself, I've decided to let God's word speak for itself and to read from various texts of Scripture and let them paint for you a picture of both our King and his glorious kingdom. These Scripture verses aren't always in any particular order, though I have linked some together to show the beauty of continuity throughout the Bible. So clear your mind of all worldly clutter and let the deep, rich truths and promises of Scripture saturate your soul in order to more deeply desire and love our God and to remove any fear of death. Rather, let us face it with anticipation. All who truly belong to Christ are part of his kingdom. God has put you here in this place and in this time in his grand plan of redemptive history. You have work to do in this kingdom as you worship and serve the King of Kings. Sadly, however, some of you are not yet part of God's kingdom. Though you may come here often, you have never made a profession of faith, nor have you committed yourselves to be members of his church at Eagle Heights. I urge you to consider why this is so. You have no idea of the hour of your death, and to delay is folly, for as Jesus promises those outside his kingdom, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The scriptures declare that God's kingdom is an eternal, everlasting kingdom. The kingdoms of this earth, on the other hand, are temporary. They come and they go. God has placed you in this country where you can vote for your country's president and other leaders. This year, you will vote for a new president and other leaders. Let me remind you that you will be held accountable for how you vote. You must do all things, including voting, in light of what God says in sacred scripture. Contrary to what the culture and some politicians say, the economy or the highly suspect global warming alarm are not the primary problems our country faces today. We continue to murder millions of defenseless babies each year to abortion on demand. We are more and more affirming that homosexuality is normal and same-sex marriage is a good thing. We leave no stone unturned in the quest to remove God's name from every part of public life so as not to offend unbelievers. Brothers and sisters, you have no business supporting parties or candidates who stand for these things. These things are clearly condemned by the Lord in His Word. Proverbs 14:34 also says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." The prophet Isaiah wrote, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." As followers of the great King, let us desire that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now to the scriptures. John 3, verses 1 through 6. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Luke 1:26-33. "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.'" 2 Samuel 7, verses 4 through 16. "But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but have moved about in a tent, and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with all the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies from before you, and have made you a great name, like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more. nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously, since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies. Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the son of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever before you. Your throne shall be established forever. Genesis 49:10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. John 8:52-58. Then the Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Isaiah 6:1-5. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Psalm 93:1-2. The Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved. Your throne is established from old. You are from everlasting. Psalm 45:10-13. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Isaiah 11:10. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him, and his resting place shall be glorious. Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. John 18:37. Pilate therefore said to him, Are you a king then? Jesus answered, You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Matthew 13, verses 24 through 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Matthew 13, verses 36 through 43. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. But the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered together and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Acts 1, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Daniel 7, verses 13 through 14. I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Revelation 22, verses 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. 1 Timothy 1:17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God alone who is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This concludes the scripture readings I have selected. There are many more that I was not able to include, and I invite you to further search the scriptures for these. I hope that this has increased your excitement and your anticipation in belonging to the kingdom of God. John Calvin has said that it is the task of the church to make the invisible kingdom of God visible. Too often the church has rather reflected the kingdom of man. The Lord has sovereignly placed you in this time and in this place in redemptive history. We are steadily advancing toward that glorious day when all his enemies are destroyed, both within and outside of the church. A day when all the saints from every age shall be gathered around the throne to worship, adore, and serve our God and the Lamb without hindrance of sin, both ours and the enemies of God. Until that day, we, the church, are called to proclaim his kingdom and to show forth in visible ways the reality of this as yet unseen kingdom. May we be a beacon of light in the darkness, showing forth righteousness, mercy, and grace, while humbly proclaiming the truth of his glorious kingdom. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.